This is With Intrepid Heart Sermons, sermons preached by Reverend Adam Moline at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. You can find our website at goodshepherdlincoln.org, and the texts for our sermons each week follow the historic one-year lectionary. Let's listen in to today's sermon. In the name of Jesus, amen. Our text today is from the gospel lesson just read, especially these words. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Thus far, our text. Your friends in Christ, every year in the Christmas season of the world, that is, I like to watch a movie version of that old Charles Dickens classic, A Christmas Carol. You all know the plot. Ebenezer Scrooge is kind of a grouchy guy, and on Christmas Eve, he's visited by three ghosts. The ghost of Christmas past, who's jolly and happy as he remembers the things from his past. The ghost of Christmas present, it's a little more grim, and maybe a little more scary as he considers what's going on right now. But then he's visited by the third ghost, the most terrifying of all, one who looks like the Grim Reaper walking around with a dark hood and with starving children under his robe, the ghost of Christmas future. And he's the scariest one on purpose, because we don't know what tomorrow will bring except for one thing, our death. We're not sure when or how that will come about, but we know that it is coming ever closer. In our gospel lesson for today, our Lord is teaching us about a future. A future that, at first listen, is terrifying. More terrifying, I would say, than the ghost of Christmas future. Because what Christ is speaking about is eternal future. And what our Lord says, unlike Charles Dickens, is absolutely the truth. In our gospel lesson, our Lord promises to return. He says that he will. A future advent is coming, just in the same way that he rode into Jerusalem in last week's gospel. He says that soon, very soon, people will see the Son of Man coming in glory. He will return from heaven to judge both the living and the dead, with the trumpets of angels blasting, reverberating throughout our world. And all that we know and that we see will be destroyed by fire, and all the people will be divided, some to receive eternal life and some to receive eternal condemnation. And so Jesus says, as we heard last week, watch yourself, stay awake. He gives a warning to pay attention, because that great day of the Lord could arrive at any time, springing up like a trap upon us. Now, in today's gospel, he also gives us some things to watch for in the world that are an indication that his coming is near. He says, the nations will be distressed in perplexity. There'll be people fainting with fear and foreboding. In the other gospels, he warns of wars and rumors of wars. He says there'll be false Christs teaching false doctrine. He speaks about earthquakes and famines and all sorts of other things which we read about in the news every single day. These events are happening right now, all around us. The signs that Jesus is coming back soon are happening right now. What does that mean if we take our Lord seriously? It means the end is near. His advent is drawing closer. It's nearer than it ever has been before. It could come at any moment, that great and terrible day of judgment. And when the day comes, when the trumpet sounds, there'll be no more opportunity to repent. You won't be able to look up in the sky and see Jesus coming back and suddenly switch teams and say, "Ah, now I'm a Christian now, look at me, I believe." It will be too late. It's the day of judgment, of declaring what your faith had been. It's not the day of grace. What I mean is there'll be no second chances. The state of your heart and your faith when Christ returns is the determining factor on what happens to you. It will be the end of this world, and what happens to you is determined by what you believe, by your faith. Faith comes only by God's work. Work in His Word and in His sacraments. Being where the Word is preached in its truth and purity, and where the sacraments are administered according to Christ's own institution, is key to your salvation. That's why Jesus says, stay awake, be alert, be in the Word as much as you can. Not just here on Sundays. Study the Word at home. Listen to it in the car. Do daily devotions as a family. Go to Bible study. Ask questions about things that you do not know. Value the sacraments. Return to your baptism every day. Eat and drink the Lord's body and blood for forgiveness, life, and salvation. Don't just walk out of church as if 1 hour a week is already too much of your time. Because the consequences, the long-term consequences, are enormous. 1 hour a week. Consider a football player. I know the games take a lot longer to watch on TV, but a football game is 1 hour long in the actual clock running time. That's all that a football player plays. But what do they do for the rest of the week? They train. They lift weights every day. They watch film every day. They practice the plays every day. They run on the field every day. They work together as a team every day. They train for that 1 hour a week. Compare that to the average Christian who comes and sees 1 hour is already too much. So many people don't live like the end is near, do they? They hear the warning of our Lord in our gospel lesson and they dismiss it with a laugh. No big deal. If someone truly thought that the end was near, that the Lord was coming back soon, they would train. They'd go to Bible study. They'd read their Bible. They'd volunteer at church functions. They'd help their child with memory work and studying the catechism. They would make every effort to be in church on Sunday morning, on Wednesday evening, and any opportunity that they had. And those who believed that the Lord was coming back soon and very soon would train less on the things that are not important. They would worry less about how much money they had in their retirement account and more about the amount given to the work of telling people about Christ. They'd make sure that the people around them knew all the basic doctrines of the faith, and they would defend those doctrines when others teach in opposition to them, instead of just rolling over and ignoring the facts. Is Christ returning? Is it drawing near? Jesus uses an example. You look out to the west and you see the clouds are coming and you know that a storm is on its way. You look around and you see the signs. Christ's return is drawing near. So many act as if that's not true. Save up money as if it will always be there. Spend the time in the things that they love instead of in the word of the Lord who loves us. We, as Martin Luther once wrote, go on drinking our beer, ignoring the warning of the Lord. Well enough, he says, it will serve us right if we do not want to listen. For the Lord will come suddenly to smite those foolish ones who are ill prepared for his coming. Dear friends, you are Christians. You are forgiven your sins. You are washed in the waters of holy baptism. The very blood of Christ takes away your sin and the stains thereof. You are fed with the food of heaven freely by your Lord, his very own body and blood. The body and blood that bled, suffered, and died for you on the cross and rose from the dead for your salvation. You are forgiven each week all of your sins by a pronouncement of God's own word. Jesus has saved you. Not by righteous things that you have done, but by his gift of forgiveness, which he gives to you here, regularly, in his word and sacrament. You are a Christian. And because you are a Christian, you have nothing to fear from the Lord when he returns. When your eyes behold the sun and the moon turning topsy-turvy, lift up your heads. Do not be afraid, for your redemption is drawing near. Your Lord is coming for you. Your salvation will soon be fully realized. He is coming to bring you out of this broken, sinful, rotten, falling apart world to rescue you from all the pains and sorrows and suffering and illness and uncomfortableness that exists because of our sin. He's coming to take you to be with Him forever in His kingdom. There's nothing more valuable than what God is giving to you. Through His Word, through His sacraments, through Jesus, crucified and risen for you. Dear friends in Christ, this is the gift of God. And being given this gift, now we strive to live as if it's real. Because Christ is coming to take us from this veil of tears to be with Him forever. Luther also writes about the promise of Christ's return to save us from sin. He says this: "We ought to write these words upon our hearts with gold letters, for they are immeasurably comforting to all who believe in everlasting life. When, says Christ, you see that the world is vile and coming apart at the seams, don't become frightened. You are my disciples and Christians. Don't be alarmed. You are saved. Don't be terrified, for Christ has overcome judgment for you. Let them fear who are directly affected by it all, and the secure and vulgar people of the world who don't care. But you will be saved. When you see the world coming apart, be happy. Not for yourself merely, be happy because Christ is coming soon. Yes, it may be a bit scary because He's coming to destroy the world, but He will protect you. He's coming to save you, to deliver you, to bring you into eternal life." That's God's promise to you. The day is near. The Lord is coming to judge the world and to save you through Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen.
That concludes today's sermon from Pastor Adam Moline. For more information about the Lutheran faith, check out our church website, goodshepherdlincoln.org. The title of this podcast, With Intrepid Heart, comes from the conclusion to the Book of Concord, where it is written, "This is our faith, doctrine, and confession, in which we also are willing, by God's grace, to appear with intrepid hearts before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of it." God's blessings on your day.